I don't ever say that enough. Everybody else is talking about this loan forgiveness thing that Biden did on the instructions of the whomevers. We don't know who's making these policies, but somebody is making these policies. We can talk about that the wealth is being redistributed and sticking us with the bill. We can talk about how ridiculous it is to do this, but I have a different, I have a slightly different take on this. It's about time for conservatives to go on the offensive and start creating words the way the left creates words. We're always responding. Now, granted, we don't control the narrative. The radical left propaganda media controls the narrative. Who knows who's directing it? Is the media directing the Democrat Party or the other way around? But whatever it is, they all seem to march in lock goose step with one another. But we don't recreate words, create different meanings for words that they do on a regular basis. On Tuesday, I talked about otherness in connection with Vera Sharov, which, by the way, that video is on my website right now. This, I hearken back to Tuesday before I move forward here with the debt forgiveness. Please go to my website. This isn't just a shameless plug for going to my website. It is to please go and watch or read the transcript of Vera Sharov, a Holocaust survivor who traveled to Nuremberg to give a warning about the similarities of what is going on in America and elsewhere and what happened in pre or leading up to Nazi Germany. It is chilling, and she gives an excellent explanation as to why we must talk about this. In recent years, we've heard that it is somehow off limits, over the line to make Holocaust comparisons, and yet the Holocaust didn't happen overnight. And she explains this. There were 9 years of attacks on civil liberties, on personal liberties. That's what she's talking about. She's talking about the early warning signs, the red flags, if you will, to tyranny, which makes anything possible when thuggery is considered acceptable in a formerly free country. It's something we talk about a lot. But this video is absolutely critical. This woman is courageous, she's concerned, and she knows whereof she speaks. Vera Sharov, go to my website, KarenCataline.com, and you can watch the video there. We talked on Tuesday about the otherness, a term the left created, otherness, mostly to make criminals and their pet mascots, people they consider friendly to the Democrat ideology, more sympathetic, be they criminals. That doesn't mean all people who are Democrats are criminals, but they made a concerted effort to change good guys into bad guys, criminals into victims, law-abiding citizens into criminals. I've been saying this for a tremendously long time. What we haven't seen until very recently is the next escalation in this attack against law-abiding citizens, which is to characterize them not only as racist, which we've been getting for some years now because, oh gosh, it works so well. You're not offended by being called a racist if you aren't, more than likely, right? And the great majority of people are decent, and they are horrified at being called a racist. It's ugly. Doesn't mean it's illegal to be a racist. It's just stupid. But the left has broadened the definition of racism to include microaggressions so that people are tongue-tied and they can't talk anymore. We can't make humor anymore. Many of the great comedians could not make a living anymore because they made fun of everybody. So make everybody into snowflakes and tell everybody else that they must watch every word they say. It's a great way of muzzling you, much like the masks that they forced upon our faces. Some of us did not comply. So, where was I? The otherness is something that happened in Nazi Germany, creating a fear-mongering of Jews. And she talks about this. Jews were described as lice, as dangerous to you. Therefore, it's okay to exterminate them because they're lice. It's okay to make them other. They're not human. Depersonalize them. Well, today, there's a new group of people being made into Jews, and it's anybody who disagrees or dares to dissent with the leftist jackbooted ideology. You are now a denier. They use Holocaust language, and yet they say it's over the line to make comparisons. You see the crazy-making behavior that they create for all of us? The new Jews, if you will, and it's hard to even say that, is their long list of enemies, from Trump supporters, white people in general, masculine men, anyone who's masculine, Christians, Jews, people of faith, anybody who might have a problem with having their liberties robbed of them. Anybody who loves the Constitution, the Gadsden flag has been the symbol of liberty, and now they want to smear people who fly a Gadsden flag. For most people who don't have any history, don't have any knowledge of what that even means, they even demonize the Betsy Ross flag, even though Betsy Ross was absolutely against slavery. But, you know, who cares what the truth is when you're demagoguing the issue? Who cares, right? So, around to my original point here, which is we need some new language of our very own to impose on the culture. And this debt forgiveness reminds me of a new term that I would like to suggest we start using. It's called anti-character, right? They use the term anti-racist to deify and glorify their racism against their political opposition. They say if you label them a racist, then anything you do to them is anti-racist. No, anything you do to them is to lump them into that group of others that you can do anything you want to. But see, that requires a little bit of thought and analysis and deep consideration. They don't want you doing that because, you know, after all, you're engaging in misinformation if you question what their definition of words are, right? So anti-character is what I've been thinking about, because it isn't just that everyday taxpayers are being stuck with the bill, which they are. It isn't that it is unfair, which it is, but it also glorifies and deifies things that dismantle character and personal responsibility. They cannot give you a good reason for why they are forgiving debt. And some people, even on the Democrat side, which I find curious, are saying it's unconstitutional for a president with a flick of a pen to forgive $10,000 of debt with people who make $120,000 or less, and to add over $300 to $500 billion in debt to the country. Who do you think pays for that? Well, we know we do. Now, one of the news reports I heard said that the reason, see, they cannot give you a reason for giving this debt, for forgiving this debt. Some people quite clearly see it as a bribe to a certain group of voters who've decided, young people, whatever, who've decided that they are owed this debt forgiveness. Nobody asks them why. So they've been demanding it. They want, it's not enough. It's never enough. If you forgive some debt, you have to forgive even more and even more and even more. So it is a wealth redistribution scheme, but it's more than that. Let me just say, because I glossed right over. So I heard a news report that said that the reason they're doing this, never believe the reason they give you, but the reason they're doing this is because of unsustainable debt. What they're talking about is people, individuals, unsustainable debt. They don't talk about the phenomenal cost of college today by leftist universities and institutions who keep putting people in debt. They don't talk about that. But that's not the point. What about the government's unsustainable debt? Does anybody ever talk about unsustainable debt of our government that spends and spends and spends and then prints money? And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the reason for the runaway inflation that we have right now. It is not Putin's fault. Go figure. But the worst, the very worst part of this, in my humble opinion, is that they are elevating the lack of character. If you ask someone for a loan and you promise them you will pay them back, you sign a form that you will pay them back, you get a mortgage for a house, and you practically sign your life away to promise that you will pay that mortgage back or they will foreclose on your house, and then one day, because you've developed the disease of entitlement, you've decided you're a victim, you've decided that you are owed something from big, bad other people, those conservatives, those racists, those deplorables. Somebody owes you something, that's for sure. And now you are demanding that they forgive that debt. Now you're demanding that they tell you you do not have to pay that back. That is an elevation of the lack of character. Character, you understand, requires personal accountability. It requires that fundamental trait of asking yourself, can I do better? What can I do to be a better person? And having the guts, the courage, and the fortitude to say, I made a mistake. I messed up. I'll try to do better. Marxism, socialism, tyranny feeds off the lack of character. As a matter of fact, it creates and elevates the lack of character. Because after all, if everybody's a criminal, they need big government to crack down on them all. It is ugly, and it is, well, I've said before, what we really are in, honestly, is a spiritual battle. And that doesn't mean we all agree theologically, but what it does mean is that we have people in this country who feel like they're accountable to something higher and greater to themselves. The left has already decided that the very word God is not inclusive enough, and they want to get rid of that word. I've talked about that before. There's one side of the ledger, and that doesn't mean they're all perfect. Doesn't mean they're all saints, not by any means, who wants to be accountable to God, and there's an other side that wants to be God. Gosh, I wish I had more time, but I was running off at the mouth. When we come back, we're going to have a spectacular guest. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello,
I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cataline. So good to have you along with us. We do this Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 1 p.m. Friday, you can find the link to listen live at KarenCataline.com. And please don't miss that video, Vera Sharov. It's very important. It's not very often, once in a while, that I get people telling me, please, you got to have this fellow on. He's spectacular. And I say, you know, I've interviewed him many times, but it's been a while. I got to interview him again. His name is Jonathan Emord. And I apologize terribly because I have his article up, but I don't have his bio up. And that is my mistake. And I apologize, but I will get it and or we'll have him tell us. And people don't like to tell and toot their own horn, but this man has a lot to toot. Jonathan Emord, thank you so much for joining us here on Spouting Off.
Well, I'm pleased to be with you, Karen.
Well, it's good to have you too, and I do apologize. I have it here, but it's much too short. A constitutional law attorney, and you wrote, Jonathan, this first piece, and I love it because it is so painfully honest. Town Hall, August 25th, this very, it says August 19th, never before in history has an entire political party, including its president, acted consistently to harm the electorate. I mean, those words a lot of pundits are afraid to say. And the title of the article for everyone is Town Hall, at Town Hall, is We Are the Enemy. Explain this piece and wax philosophic for us as to why you wrote it.
Well, it's quite extraordinary. This is the first time in American history in which a major political party in the United States has adopted socialism as its agenda. And it started way back in July of 2019 when the chief of staff to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was meeting with Jay Inslee's Committee on Climate Change, and he corrected them, the chief of staff did, on their assumption that this was about the environment. He said, oh, no, this is about fundamentally transforming the United States from a capitalist economy into a socialist economy.
Wait a minute. And where have I heard those terms? Fundamentally
yes.
Transforming. Yeah,
you've heard that from Chuck Schumer. He uses the words transformational change. You've heard it from Joe Biden, and you've heard it from Nancy Pelosi. They're all on board.
And Barack Obama was the first place we heard it.
That's true. And as far as the party goes, in February of 2020, 6 months later, the head of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, the leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, did something extraordinary. They announced for their political party, the Democrat Party, that they would fully endorse a socialist, Bernie Sanders, if he were the party's nominee and his platform. In there, they crossed the Rubicon. For the first time in American history, a major party, the Democrat Party, had formally endorsed socialism, and so then did the party itself in its apparatus. And then after Biden was elected, during the transition, before the inauguration, he met with AOC's people, he met with Bernie Sanders' people, and he made clear that he would fully endorse, in fact, in writing, fully endorse a full-scale socialist transformation of the United States. And he had to agree to this in advance of the election in order to win. So he sold his soul gladly to socialism. So the reason why the federal government is attacking the American citizen, the electorate, is because they must destroy capitalism. They have to create insecurity for your property, for your life, for your liberty. They have to get a crisis going and keep it going in order for them to pull the rug out from under the nation, destroy the market economy, and replace it with government control or ownership of the private means of production. This is all about taking over. It's all about transferring sovereignty from the people to the government. It's all about taking Lincoln's of, by, and for the people and making it of, by, and for the government. And we then are the slaves to the government. And this is really what's happening. I mean, you look, open borders without regard to the fact that terrorists are coming through, drug trafficking's coming through, gangs are coming through. All of these atrocities are taking place across the country as a result of millions of people coming in who are not vetted from all over the world coming through the southern border. Total chaos. And you've got rampant spending, over $4 trillion forced into the economy at a faster rate than ever before in American history, causing too many dollars to chase too few goods, the classic definition of inflation, inflation going nuts. And then they are completely constricting the availability of oil and gas, destroying it, pledging themselves to eliminating the fossil fuel backbone of the American economy within 10 years. This is ruin. There's no there's no silver lining to this. This is you. This hits you at home. You are going to suffer a loss in your earnings potential and ability to even stay afloat. You're going to, I mean, we're by the end of the Biden administration, I would not be surprised if we see upwards of 15% of Americans not able to pay their bills, not having to decide whether or not they're going to buy drugs that they need if they're seniors, and food. And we're already seeing that. But upwards of 15% of the population will experience that, if not more.
Jonathan, I talk about this in various ways, and I want to ask you this. As we watch this being done to our country, you know, conservatives are fighting so hard often, real conservatives, against victimhood, and yet they sometimes can't recognize when they are being the victim, when they are being victimized. And people are afraid to say what they know and what they think is going on. I think that's less so. One of the greatest tactics of these communists is to let people think we still have a country and we still have liberty, isn't it? They're still brazenly doing what they're doing without just proclaiming America is socialist now or America is communist now. Are you watching the same thing, what they do in this
Absolutely.
Regard?
Absolutely. I mean, this is what happens. You get the middle class in a country. This is the Bolshevik Revolution. You've got the radicals out on the street. You have sympathy even with the middle class for the radical movement, for people who are saying, I'm discriminated against, I'm suffering because of my race, because of my gender, or whatever, and the argument about the environment. People are just, oh, I don't want to hurt the environment. No, I'm not for that. But these are all ruses, because underneath it all, these are Marxists who want to overthrow your business, destroy it, take your property away from you. That's what the burning of buildings is about in the protests of BLM and Antifa. the looting of businesses is about. That's what the arson is about. That's what the raw violence, even murder of police, is about. This is about destroying the United States. They'll go into a crowd, if you're talking about having a crowd that is, you know, that is going to protest racism or whatever, they'll use it to their advantage. That's what BLM is all about. That's what Antifa is all about.
They're the muscle end of the party.
They are. Mm-hmm. And that's why the party, both state, local, and national, the Democrats in charge, look the other way when all of this destruction is taking place. Completely no prosecution. They get rid of cash bail. They won't prosecute criminals. They have a revolving door. If you are considered disadvantaged and you go in one door, you'll come right out the other, no matter how many crimes you've committed. Because this is a revolution. This is a breakdown in the rule of law. This is an attempt to overcome the republic, to eliminate all constitutional restraints on power, and to build a socialist empire atop which these people think they will rule. And in the end, we know what happens to them. If they get there, there'll be a bloodbath. One of them will make it, but they'll kill everybody else.
History has shown us that there's a lot of useful idiots that think they're going to be part of the ruling class, and they just helped other people get there. We have so little time with you, and I could spend a couple of hours with you. First of all, I do apologize for not rightfully letting people know your extensive background. Jonathan E. Mord, practicing constitutional administrative law before the federal courts and agencies since 1985, and part of well-respected firms like Wiley, Ryan, and Fielding, and served as a Cato Institute vice president, which is a libertarian think tank, and so much more to say about Jonathan E. Mord. I hope to have you on many more times. The enormity of what you're talking about is hard to get anybody's brain around. It's heartbreaking, especially for those of us older who grew up in relative freedom and liberty. And we also know that bringing down America is what stands in the way of this world globalist kinds of socialism we're watching. Most individuals who get it, what you're talking about, they see through the lies and the manipulations of the media and so forth, telling you everything's fine. It's those Trump supporters. Those are the bad guys. What can you tell people as a realistic way to stand against this takeover of our country and to save America? What can you realistically tell us, little individuals, some of whom are just frozen? You know, they don't know what to do.
Well, remember the Bolshevik Revolution. Remember that people who were sitting there sympathizing with the Bolsheviks would get a knock at the door, and then they would come in, and then they would string you up by your own chandelier and hang you that way. Because you got to realize, this is not a fight that you can avoid. As a result, you've got to be in, on one side or the other. The great silent majority of Americans in this country love freedom. They would die for freedom. Well, it's no longer that there's a foreign nation posing a threat to the survival of the American Republic. It's an entire political party, the Democrat Party. And if you want to save this country and you're on that Democrat ship, get off. And if you want to save this country and you're in the independent category, start voting for Republicans who are not rhinos, who are activists who are going to try to save this country. The message has to be from us, the people, to these politicians that we expect our freedom to be protected, we expect the constitutional limits on power to be restored, and we expect a free market in which our choice governs, not the choice of Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer. It's our money. It's our future. Thomas Jefferson had it right way back at the start of the Republic in the early years of the New Nation period when he said, a wise and frugal government shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their pursuits of industry and improvement, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned.
Hmm. And where is that? Let's look that up. Where is
that's
that?
That's his inaugural address.
Jefferson's
inaugural address.
Yeah. We're almost running out of time. I just want to point out that it's quite clear that the left has thought about this and planned this for decades, and thusly they suppress opposition by claiming that anybody who opposes them wants to overthrow the government, wants to, you know, they throw these words around like insurrection, so that they can suppress opposition even further. Do you see that happening? It's quite clear. And then tell us where we can find you and follow you, because your information, your guidance is so valuable.
Well, I do see that. And it's the art of a Marxist, not really an art, the evil of a Marxist, to lie incessantly, to persuade using lies, to insist by repetition of lies that it's the truth, to be Orwellian. Of course, that's why Orwell wrote it that way. The Marxist uses you to deceive you into accepting a loss of your freedom. People will not, if you go up to somebody and say, okay, look, I want to take your freedom of speech, I want to take your property rights, I want to take your liberty away, I want to take your life potentially, here, sign to that. Sign that over to me right now. It'll be up to me to decide whether you live or die and what your job is, and whether you can open your mouth or not. Okay? Sign here. No one's going to sign that. But if I tell you, look, I'm going to give you a free education.
Your life is in danger.
Yeah.
You better do this.
Yeah.
Right?
The whole world is going to disappear because of climate change in 10 years.
Right.
If you don't agree to give me all of your rights to save you, you'll die. Oh, there's a pandemic. Put this mask on. Go over there and get a vaccination. Do what I say. Do what I say. Don't do what you want to do or what you think is best for you and your family. Do what I tell you to do.
Exactly. Jonathan, we have to leave it there. Look up Jonathan Emord, E-M-O-R-D. We didn't even get to his other piece, American Greatness Town Hall. We'll have you back soon. It's such an honor to have you. Jonathan Emord, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Well, we got to move on to another guest right after this. Wait till you hear this story. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off on WSMN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
It's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today, when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. Boy, these hours go so quickly. Jonathan Emord is extremely distinguished, and he doesn't mince words now, does he? While we are waiting for our next guest, which we may have a little bit late, I want to cover one other thing from the first segment. Actually, it's a totally different subject, but I didn't have time to really go after it. As some of you know, I used to live in Colorado, and my husband and I moved to Texas, where we hope to preserve freedom, and we hope there's more of it here. And we hope that people who come to Texas and Florida and other places that are not controlled by leftists will not bring their lefty values with them, but remember that America can be found in some of these places that still believe in constrained government and power to the people instead of to the government, as we've been talking about. So to that end, the police chief in Texas, who resided over the horror, the atrocity in Uvalde, Texas, was fired by the school board 3 months ago after Robb Elementary shooting, and that was in Uvalde. His name is Pete Arredondo, who was harshly criticized by the Uvalde, Texas community and state police for the way that they handled the response. The problem was they didn't handle the response at all. They did the opposite of what we would expect any police to do at all. It used to be, you'd go without saying, it used to go without saying that you would expect the police to run in. This is what happened at 9/11. They ran into the building while everyone was running out so that they could save people and stop death and destruction. That's pretty much the oath that they take. We heard horrifying stories of parents, mothers, being prevented from going in and putting their own lives in danger to save the life of their child. Who in their right mind thinks that this is okay or that there is anything American about that? The fact that it was in Texas, the fact that it was in a small town, the fact that that could happen anywhere in America is astonishing. Astonishing that that could happen. And yet, when we hear that this has happened in Texas, in a small town, we think, well, Texas is done. Texas is over. That's all there is to it. Don't move to Texas because Texas has been co-opted by the leftist ideology. Well, I have some new information because I have been troubled and very curious about this incident happening at all, because I am a native of Colorado. I was born and raised there, as were my parents, may they rest in peace. And I was living in Colorado. I've lived in many, many places around the country, but I was living in Colorado when Columbine happened. In fact, I was driving, I heard it on the news, and I was driving literally only a few miles away. As a social worker, I went there to hand out Kleenex after it happened, which was wholly unhelpful, because social workers and other mental health professionals, it's good for them to be there, but it takes years to get over that kind of trauma. Nevertheless, all of us, many of us, have been troubled as to what happened. And how could this happen in a small town in Texas? Well, this is a piece of information that does not mean that this is the whole answer. I don't know the whole answer, but I couldn't figure out at least the stereotypes that we always think about. Who was it who did this terrible crime? But why did the police restrain people from saving their own children? Why did they stand around, 100 of them, and allow children to get murdered? It's unfathomable, and it's hard to even say, let alone imagine. Well, I had the honor of talking to a Texas sheriff about a week ago. I went to an event far from my home, and I had the pleasure of talking to a sheriff. Now, it took me a while, I didn't know this at least, that sheriffs are a little different than police chiefs. Not that there aren't some marvelous police chiefs, but police chiefs, as you probably know, are appointed by the government, by the governor, by other politically involved people. Sheriffs, on the other hand, are elected by the people. So if you want a law enforcement person who is as close to the people as it's going to get, it's nice to have one who answers to the people. Now, I don't know all the details of some of that because a lot of that overlaps. And I love police in general. Like anyone, I dislike those that are crooked. I dislike those that harm innocent people for an agenda that is not in tune with the oath they took to protect and defend the public. But that aside, there didn't used to be much of a difference. But a police chief who restrains parents from saving their own children, a police chief who tells his police people to stand down when children are getting murdered, this is an atrocity on top of an atrocity. You know it, and I know it. So that sheriff that I spoke to, I said to him, you know, I won't use your name. I want to know, do you have any inside information as to what the heck happened in a small town in Texas? I've never been there, but I am living in the state and I couldn't figure it out. Well, he explained to me that that particular town, Uvalde, not only is it a border town, which doesn't mean that they don't deserve law enforcement like everyone else, not only is it filled with illegal immigrants, but guess what? It doesn't fit the stereotype of a town. The reason I'm reporting this is because the media will not report this. But Uvalde, Texas is a liberal town. It may be a small town, but they vote Democrat. They vote liberal. They've been taught to vote liberal. Do you think that the open borders that we are watching today and their taking illegal aliens on airplanes and putting them up in five-star hotels, flying them to points all around the country. Do you think they're not being indoctrinated into lefty politics? Some of them don't have to be because they're coming from third world countries for which they know the kind of corruption that happens in socialist countries. They understand dictator governments. They don't need indoctrination in it. Nevertheless, they're being told how to vote. This is speculation on my part. And guess what? As part of commentary, you get to speculate. Doesn't look like, by the way, our guest is going to be able to join us. She was called away at the last minute, and we weren't able to have her on, but we will try to reschedule her because that story is great. She's encountered serious discrimination from trans athletes. So she has a story to tell. And I don't know, somebody must have got her before we did, but we did have her scheduled and we will have her again. So the reason this is so important, this story, is because when the media gets even a hint, and it hardly ever happens, it does not happen, that the killer supported Trump, liked Trump in any way, they plaster it all over the country. They plaster it. If there is someone who is a member of a group that they protect, they don't want you to be angry at, they make sure and cover it up. Like the killer in the Orlando mass murder happened to be a Muslim who doesn't like gay people. Well, that's pretty common. In Muslim countries, they throw gay people off buildings because they don't like them. But you see, the left wants to make Muslims, all Muslims, lump them all together into groups, which I've talked about, instead of individuals, lump them into giant categories. And they want you to think that the giant category of Muslims, which you shouldn't do anyway because it's bigoted, are victims, not perpetrators. It's a convoluted way, once again, as Jonathan E. Mord mentioned, of collectivizing us all and of creating division, hate, and discontent to dismantle this country and turn it into something it was never meant or created to be, which is another communist hellhole. If you notice, when Democrats, who the radical left now controls the Democrat Party, they control almost every large city in America now. And it, are those places you would really want to live? They have even come to control big cities in Texas, too. Houston, Austin, Dallas. Those are the places. Austin, the capital city, those are the places that the left tries to take over first, and then they bully the rest of the state to go along with population. They did it in Colorado. It was a tactic, it was a strategy, and it worked beautifully in Colorado, unfortunately. Denver, Boulder are run and have been controlled by Democrats for decades. And if you live in a conservative town in Colorado, you're out of luck because you're being controlled by the leftists in Denver and Boulder and the high population areas that are going to make you come along. They're going to shut down your oil and gas. They're going to demonize farming and ranching. They're going to tell you that you must eat bugs, and on and on and on it goes. They all seem to march in lockstep. So we're going to have Trevor Loudon on once again, because no one was more prescient that I know of than Trevor Loudon, who tried to reveal that there were secret communists in our government 8 to 10 years ago or more. He had done the research and he found the communist ties in our government. They came to power right under our noses. Getting back to Uvalde, it is so important to point out that the media would not, well, the media would not report that this is a Democrat-run town because, well, obviously, they want you to think that the terrorists are Republicans. The point is, it's the ideology that's the poison, not the people. It is the ideology that says that, for example, in France, police officers shouldn't be armed to keep peace and to stop criminals. That's why criminals can run free anywhere in many places in France. If you remember the Charlie Hebdo shooting, murder, the cops were not able to stop them because they weren't armed. So this bastardization, if I can say, of turning life upside down and making the good guys the bad guys and the bad guys the victims is what they've been doing for a long time. Furthermore, they have done, as part of this strategy, to infiltrate the places that are most responsible for keeping civil society in peace, those charged with the responsibility of protecting innocent life have now been infiltrated with this poisonous ideology that a police chief would ever think in a million years to restrain his officers from saving children from being murdered. That is where we have come. Now, you can speculate if you like about why they did that. But somebody gave the order. Somebody told the police chief that that police chief shouldn't tell his officers to stop children from being murdered. Don't know why. You and I can both speculate. But I would ask you, speculate too about why the left refuses to report this when they would report the town. They would report who the killer was and how they vote as a city in a heartbeat. But they want you to think this is happening in a small town of Texas, so Texas is over. So a lot of it is a show. This is a propaganda show for yours and my and public consumption. So wrapping it up, let's start using the term anti-character to explain the debt forgiveness. It isn't just that it's a bad idea. It's that it builds the lack of character on purpose. And if you can see what we've been talking about all hour, that the lack of character is what fuels communism. The lack of personal responsibility is what fuels socialism and totalitarianism. The chaos and criminality and divisiveness that they are creating is what fuels communism and socialism. The lack of accountability, which I was finishing talking about in our first segment, the lack of accountability to a God or higher power that is not government and that is not man, that fuels communism and socialism. So you got a blueprint of exactly how to address these issues. We will be coming back next week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for more Spouting Off. Great guests. We love your input. Please call, email me if you can, Karen@KarenCataline.com. Let me know what you'd like to hear or see. And if you're listening live, you can always call in to the program. We do take calls here some of the time. Have a wonderful weekend. Tune in tomorrow for Spouting Off, 1 o'clock. KarenCataline.com. That is it for today. And don't forget, there's lots to spout off about, so keep on spouting off.